be able to talk about this particular quality. I'm going to keep this really simple. I want to keep the line open. I'll share with you some principles, and I'd like us to explore them together. It would be so fun if you decided to participate, because these particular thought processes can be very challenging. We're talking tonight about discipline and structure. This is quality number 4 in your intentional creation studio. I'm in my studio right now. I'm looking at quality number 4. If you would take a look at that with me, that would be most helpful. So welcome tonight. If you have any noise in the background, if you're in a car or there's dishes or etc. in the background, just press *6. That'll mute your phone individually. And then to come off of mute, you just press *6 again. So if you could do that, that'll save me having to put the line on mute. And we can stay focused and ready to move forward. Now, I'd like you to have your assessment handy. So if you've got your computer turned on, log on to augmandino.com, log into your assessment tool. It's in the top right-hand side of the home page. Let's get to the assessment, because we want to talk about these 6 measurements, first of all. Does everybody have their assessment? We all ready? Okay, here we go. These are the thought processes that drive our external behavior. These are the thought processes that shape the way in which we approach tasks and even the way in which we honor and treat people. The first measurement is entitled disciplined. Disciplined. It is under-focused in entrepreneurial people, it's orange in other words, 99.5% of the time. So if your measurement is orange, it's not something where I go, what's wrong with me? Just know entrepreneurial people have this measurement orange. It serves them part of the time, and it creates challenges part of the time. I want to talk to you about both sides of this equation. First, the positive side. When this measurement's orange or red, a person has a tendency to think outside the box. Be creative. It's like I'm saying, I don't really care for the rules. I mean, if the rules make sense, I'll follow them. But I'm not driven by the fact that it's a rule or a policy or a procedure or a system that I have to follow. I'll look at it. But if it doesn't make sense, I'm not bound to it. That's entrepreneurial. An entrepreneur wants to have more flexibility, more creativity, more ability to analyze it and think through it themselves and come up with their own way of doing it. Now, I share this with you because those of you who are in the network marketing business, there's probably at least half of you on the phone, just know that 99.5% of the people who come to that business have this measurement. They are naturally resistant to structure, to systems. Yet the very first thing we try to teach them is a system. Just be conscious of that. So disciplined, we're thinking outside the box. I want you to imagine that this box over here, that's the box. That's what I think should be done. So we've created our own system, our own box. And here's the first challenge. We want everybody to fit inside our box. Now, if you got a group of entrepreneurs working with you, that could get interesting. Because they most likely have their own box, and it's different than yours. And they want everybody in their box. And you can start to see what would happen in terms of relationships with people when which box we're in becomes more important than the value of a human being. See the challenge? Ouch. So we might need to be right about the way we think it ought to be done. And 95% of the time, a person cannot separate their idea from their self-worth. which means that when we need to be right about which box we ought to be in, they not only need to be wrong, they get to be crushed. Now, same is true for you. If you've got your own little box and that's where you'd like it to be, and somebody says, no, you'll come back here and you'll get in this box, this is the way we do it, make your first million my way, you make your second million your own way, but this is the system, follow the system, and we're summarily dismissed, we get crushed too. And that's why it hurts so much when we feel someone forcing us to use a system we do not like. If we're an employee in an organization and we can see a better way to do something, and our boss says, you'll do it my way. But why? Because I'm the boss. I just want you to feel the hair raise up on the back of your neck. Oof. That's starting to get into the shadow side. Another shadow side. We may lack the discipline to stick to the very structure required for our success. We may be avoiding the very things through which we'll want to pass to create the very things we want to have in our life. In other words, what we want is often right behind the very things we're resisting. The things we want to have are right behind the very things we're resisting. But I don't want to make cold calls. Well, if that's your only option for contacts, it may be the option. But if we're resistant to it, we keep fighting it, we may never realize the success we'd like to have in a business if cold calling in our sales position is required, just for an example. Showing up at a certain time. Another example.
Dave?
Yes.
Hi, this is Linda. How are you?
Hi, Linda. Great to hear your voice.
Thank you. It's nice to be on here. I would really appreciate if you would go back to where you started the sentence. About you mentioned we may not always be following the rules and we are resistant to structure, and we each may lack the discipline to, and I wanted you to follow up with that.
Sure.
Again.
This is one of the shadow sides for an entrepreneur. They're thinking outside the box. But the risk is they may just be avoiding structure. You know, if you and I sat back and took a look at your business, Linda, and we said, what's it going to take to get my business to the level that I really want it to be? I think you and I could decide what that would be.
Oh, I can look at it right now and tell you what it is.
Yeah. The question is, will this thought process support you in actually doing it? Or is it going to resist and resent and rebel every time you go to do it? What's the dialogue you're hearing? When you go to do the things you know are required to create the business you want to create your hopes and dreams, that revenue stream you want to create, what's the dialogue that stops you from doing it? It might be from another place other than just this one measurement, but wouldn't it be interesting? Well, do you know, Linda, what your color is on this measurement?
Oh, yeah, it's orange.
It's orange, okay.
Yeah,
so just listen to it.
I'm at 99.9%.
You say, I'm going to do it at 10 o'clock. Well, I don't want to do it at 10 o'clock. I don't feel like doing it at 10 o'clock. It's all first person, so it sounds like you. But just hear it for what it is. Because if the very things you desire are right behind the structure that you're avoiding, what you know is that the thought process that's having you avoid it is not you. It's just an unhealthy habit of thinking.
Ты собираешься куда-то идти?
Okay. I'm sorry? Somebody just asked a question? Oh, somebody may just be talking in the background.
Well,
so Linda,
go ahead. I was just going to say...
Okay, it's on.
Sometimes...
Where did I get that wrong?
It is a lack of discipline. And for whatever reason, I can't put my finger on that. That keeps me from doing what I need to do. I think that's what it is. And You know, I just guess I want to know how do you become more disciplined?
I will give you a couple of things. One, there's a chapter in my book where I wrote jump first, peace second. Sometimes we just do it anyway, and we start to discover. We'll get exhausted if that's what we have to do every time, is just do it anyway.
Yeah.
We'll want to have some support in doing it. And I'll tell you where the support comes from.
Sorry, my dog's barking.
It's okay. Take a look at the right-hand side of mental creation, mm-hmm. and tell me what the color is for goal-oriented.
Orange.
Orange. So you've got an enormous capacity to vividly visualize. I believe in my heart of hearts that to be able to start developing the discipline, we must have a reason bigger than resistance. However, the great risk with the orange goal-oriented is that we may be using it to escape into the future to a time when our business is already built. And what it'll be like then when we're out of debt, or we have that new house, or we've got that car, or we've got that money. I think the very place you're going to want to look in your assessment, all of you, if you've got that same challenge. We've got a little conversation going on in the background. If you could press *6 on your phone, that would be really helpful. Thank you. So we have this measurement goal-oriented. The question is, what is our real intentions? What is our secret desires? I think you have my book, Today I Begin a New Life.
I do.
Where I'd like you to go to read will be page 152, Secret Desires and Real Intentions. It's an invitation to manage where we allow our vivid visualization to go, because that will impact how we feel about doing the work of creation. It will impact how we feel about ourselves in that process. And if we feel healthy and we're having joy in creation and we have this vivid visualization that's guiding these actions, it is so much easier to shut these negative thought processes off in discipline and structure and take the action required. If we are using goal-oriented to escape and avoid, or we're using it to vividly imagine worst-case scenarios, and we move up to joy in the journey, the next section, and we're hating our life, and we're beating ourselves up, it's really hard for us to stand up for ourselves and say we're going to do it anyway. We're in a weakened state. So I hope that answers your question.
What should I look for in joy in the journey?
I'm sorry?
You said the next step up from...
Next step is the next section up from mental creation, which is joy in the journey.
Right. And so is there any particular... whether it's grateful, persistent, effective, any one of those in particular that go along with the orange and disciplined and goal-oriented?
Uh-huh. Quite often when goal-oriented is orange or red, quite often, matter of fact, 92% of the time, grateful is orange or red.
Okay.
Which means we're going, ugh, every time life shows up differently than our fantasy. Ugh. We're holding life hostage to a fantasy. And every time it shows up differently, which will be every time, we get to be discouraged by what we have. Ugh. I don't want this. I don't want this relationship. I don't want this bank account. I don't want this credit card. Ugh. Because in our mind, we've seen it totally different. And it's so real to the mind that it's confused. So grateful will turn orange. Persistent. We'll start focusing on, I need to make money. What do I do to make money? And then effective, we start running around like a chicken with our head cut off, being busy, 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 trying to figure out how to create today what our mind has already seen. Then we get into realistic, and we start getting frustrated because we don't know how to get from here to there. because our mind already has us over there, but we're sitting here in reality going, no, I want to be over there. How do I build the bridge? Diligence starts saying, oh, it's got to be because of this and because of that, and we start blaming and frustrated about the things in our life that are in the way, and vigilant we start going, what I'm doing with my life is a waste of time. I want to be over there. And then, and I've given you all of them, not all of them are generally out of balance, but when any of those are out of balance, it is human nature to say, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? I can almost touch it. I can almost taste it. Why can't I have it? And we start to question our worth and our worthiness, the first measurement of self-esteem. We start questioning our ability, the second measurement. We start questioning our belief systems. We start giving up on our ideas. We start sacrificing our time and energy to somehow prove we're okay. And then we start really beating ourselves up with shame and unconditional. Now, it might not be all of those, but you can look at your assessment and know specifically where you target your dialogue. When that unmet expectation isn't met and we're hating our life, where am I taking the toll in my self-esteem? Now, we're going to go into Join the Journey next week. We'll go into self-esteem the week after. Then we're going to go back into connection and mental creation, physical creation. We're going to work our way back through this again. That's why it's so important that we keep coming back through this, so that each time we're seeing it differently. We've got a higher level of awareness. We've got another purpose. Because you just said so beautifully, I'm lacking the discipline. I get to talk myself out of doing what's really required. Okay, next time we're on mental creation, practice those constructive ways of thinking. When we're joining the journey, let's learn how to embrace our clay and create the most we can with it. When we're in self-esteem, let's start changing our self-deprecating dialogue. So next time we come back to self-discipline and structure, we're a different person. It's easier to say, no, we're going to do this anyway. Are you with me?
I am.
Yep.
And I really appreciate it very much.
I can tell you that others on this phone needed what we just went through.
That was a great question.
My wife, Ramona's sitting next to her, and she raised her hand and said, yes, yes, yes. I just helped her see something. We're working through some diet and exercise issues. Self-control.
Yeah. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. We've talked about discipline. We know this measurement. If we can't stick to the structure, if we can't stick to it, we just know that we're probably not strong enough to stand up to it. This is a very powerful measurement. It processes right, wrong, win, lose, life, death. It releases molecules in our body. We actually feel this rebellion. We feel it. That's really hard to fight if we're not whole and complete and real and genuine and authentic and feeling good about ourselves. Second measurement, teachable. Anybody have this measurement orange or red on the phone tonight? I know a number of people went on mute because of background noise.
Yes, mine's red.
Okay, thank you. Would you stick with me for a moment?
Sure, this is Betty.
Hi, Betty. Oh, this is a fun one. Mine's red, so let's have some fun together, okay? I know this one. Betty, have you ever had a job where you worked for somebody?
Maybe 20 some years ago, yes.
It's so telling in your answer. In other words, for 20-something years, I've avoided that process, and I'll share with you one of the major reasons why you might. If you go back 23 years ago, did you ever work for a boss that was really dumb?
No, I don't recall having those thoughts of a boss, no.
Okay, good. For anybody else who's got this measurement orange or red, have some fun with me here for a moment, because Betty has been 20-something years since she's worked for someone. Wow, that's incredible. Because a red teachable tells me that someone is very resistant to having someone tell them what to do, especially if they don't agree with it. It's kind of an authority issue.
Go ahead, Betty. Mine would come, I'm sure, and I'm sure there's some other people maybe that might, that doesn't come from a boss, but it comes from the past marriage that's been 20 some years ago, that that's where that would come from. That's the only place that could come from.
That's beautiful, because there's always a story behind a red teachable. At some point in our life, someone tried to control us. And it's like we promised ourselves, see if this sounds familiar, Betty, if I ever get out of this, I will never, ever allow another human being to do that to me again.
You got it.
I got it. I got it. Yeah, there it is.
You got it.
Now the risk, Betty, is this is a knee-jerk reaction. It can be. Now, you can manage it, but it can be a knee-jerk reaction, especially when it's red. It is so powerful when it's red that when someone comes in, have some fun with this, and they sound like that ex-husband, or they have the same kind of energy that he had when he tried to make you do certain things, there's a natural reaction to shut that person off. That's a risk.
Yeah.
We throw the baby out with the bathwater. The bathwater being your past experience, the baby being a precious nugget in what this person may be saying. So anybody's got orange or red, it's going to be important for us to step back, become aware when we're feeling that little kind of a prick, you know, from that lance, that ouch, and say, whoa, I'm going to listen anyway, and I'm going to glean something good from what's being said, without letting this person's voice or demeanor push my button. Because we could rob ourselves of some really good information because of this knee-jerk reaction. I know I have. But there's generally a story behind this one. If it's orange, if we work for somebody and we have a red measurement, oh my goodness, if you work for someone who is controlling and may not be as clear as you are, and they do that thing, we'll do it my way, why? Because I'm the boss? If it's orange, you'll have thoughts about, ooh, I just want to tell them, blankety blank blank. If it's red, we probably have spoken it. We probably have said it. And it may have gotten us in trouble somewhere along the way. So, Betty, I know you haven't been employed with a boss for 23 years. You've been an independent business owner.
Yes.
But everybody just be with us for a moment. If this is orange or red, this measurement can rob us from seeing the practical benefits of following authority, the practical benefits. If it's red, it's like, you know, it's after the fact, I can't believe I said that. They fired me, and I need the paycheck. But in the moment, this thought process is so loud, it overrides all practical reasoning, and we just speak our mind. This has been a hard one for me to not speak my mind. This has been conscious, because when we speak this, we have a chance of crushing another human being. We know that the most important measurements in this assessment are in the top left-hand side, connection, as it relates to other people. Right-hand side as it relates to us, self-esteem. But we will actually make needing to be right about not listening more important than the value of the human being. And again, generally because we've had a really bad experience with a human being. It's a knee-jerk reaction. So just pay attention to that one. That's a great one. Betty, thank you for jumping on the line with that.
Well, you're so welcome, but did you say that the upper left-hand corner, the connection, repeat again what you said about that.
Those are the most important messages. In other words, people are more valuable than ideas.
Well,
we may throw the person away just because we don't like the way they look, or the way they say it to me, or how they say it, or when they said it. And so we disvalue the value of a human being based on our resistance to someone telling us what to do.
Well, fortunately, I assess blue and green in all of those areas, which that tells me. But I know that years ago, based on what you're saying, I know that my hurt was so bad that I'm not the same person now that I used to be, because I made the determination that I could not live hanging on to that. And so now, if I can change this teachable from red, this is the next step.
It's the next step. You've got an awareness now. Can you feel it? You've got greens and blues in connection, which means you've got such clarity, such intuitive clarity about people, that teachable, even though it's red, you're going to be able to overcome it. What'll be fun is you now take on teachable. You don't have to overcome something because it goes away. But I must tell you, this is a hard one to shift. You'll be aware much longer in your lifetime than you probably will not, than you will be not having to deal with it. Stephen Covey, it wasn't his idea, but he uses this phrase that I'm unconsciously incompetent. I don't even know that I don't know. Then I move to the next step where I become consciously incompetent. Now I know I don't know. And then we become consciously competent. I now know I've got a red. I know what it does. I've got blues and greens in connection. So every time that red shows up, I can override it. I can consciously choose to do so. We'll eventually get to a state where we are unconsciously competent. We've changed the thought process, so it's not weighing us on us anymore. Og talks about it when he says, I will set aside my shield and walk unencumbered among all men, and my name will be raised high on the pyramid of life. Their arrows of hate and suspicion, the way in which they show up, won't even affect me anymore. Well, Betty, the chances are, at least I'm feeling this way, I may never get to that. I may have to live my life consciously competent, on guard, that I don't lash out. Because this is a hard one to shift. But it's worthy of the effort.
Absolutely.
And the very first thing is what we said a moment ago, is to stay conscious. You know, read your scrolls, Holy Writ, whatever it takes to keep your consciousness alive and seeing the value in the human being, so when it shows up, you have more capacity to override it. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
And you have, interestingly, the secret to overcoming this one is starting to see the pricelessness in every human being. We were just talking before we got on the call. This last weekend, we were at the cabin celebrating our anniversary, and we had a neighbor that wanted to sue us because of the noise at the cabin in the summertime. He didn't buy a cabin to put up with this noise, and he just got so frustrated, he filed a lawsuit. Well, I could have just eaten him alive. That was an option. But wanting to see his pricelessness, we set a time to go visit with him and set aside judgment and frustration and just stepped into his world and found out what he wanted. This was a couple months ago. We've been working through the whole process. We're now fast friends. Lawsuit's been dropped. We're dear friends. He's going to teach me how to use my new 9mm my dad gave me at Christmas time, because he's too old to use it anymore, and it scares me to death. And he was a ranger in the Army. He jumped out of a helicopter 120 times under fire. I mean, he knows how to use weapons, and he said, let me show you how to use it. We'll go up in the trees, and I'll teach you. I mean, we become friends. But there was a day when that red teachable was there. If somebody had done that, I'd have just eaten him alive. Because I could. He didn't have a legal leg to stand on. I'd owned his house. But what good is that? We were just talking about how fun it was just before we got on the call. Because I got an email from him tonight, and I just sent it back to him. I said, I got this really cool friend. He flies model airplanes, and he was a ranger, and he's got stories to tell. He's got the Vietnamese Medal of Honor. He's got the second highest medal from the president for his military service. This is a really cool guy. Now, you get on the wrong side of him, and he'll eat you alive. But love overcomes this measurement. That's the only one I found, that as we start to see the pricelessness in a human being, we step into their world, we listen, we ask empathetic questions, and we start to see their pricelessness. The way in which they approach things doesn't bother us as much anymore. How they say things doesn't bother us as much anymore. We love them. You know what's interesting? They start to feel that we love them. And when they feel it, they start to shift the way they present. That's the secret to curing number two. And you're already all blues and greens in that area. How fun is that? So just keep learning how to listen to people and step into their world and ask those empathetic questions and take down their walls, and you'll see the pricelessness in them. And that pricelessness will override any frustration you may have with them. You won't even see it anymore. Everybody okay? Moving to the next one. This has been fun so far. Thank you all for participating. This makes the evening so exciting for me. Ramona's shaking her head, yes. Because I get off of these calls and sometimes, you know, we don't have anybody say anything, and gosh, I wonder if everybody's watching television or answering emails. You know, I don't know. But thank
Dave,
you all for
this
participating.
Is Betty again. And last week, you know, when you made that comment and you asked if anybody had any comments, and it was quiet for a minute, and then there was several people did come on, and you made the same comment, and I was thinking, I really didn't have anything I thought of importance to say, but then I realized how it must make you feel if you're teaching and there's nobody responding. Yes, do you even know if there's even anyone there? So we do need to respond to you.
And if we had everybody come off of mute, we asked them if it was valuable to hear what I just shared based on your question. I just know you can feel how valuable it is. We talked about some things I didn't plan on sharing tonight. We went in places that are really important for people on this call, and you helped guide us into that by commenting. So everybody on the phone, when you say, gosh, what's happening with this? What does this mean to me? Just know that every question you ask serves everyone on the phone. So thank you. Let's go to this is my favorite measurement in discipline and structure, analytical. It is red or orange 97% of the time with entrepreneurial people, people that want to do something really exciting with their life. Now, if it's not orange or red, don't go, oh, gosh, why isn't mine? Yours is balanced. That's really good if it's green or blue. This is just a measurement. Red isn't bad. Orange isn't bad. This is a strange measurement. It's like goal-oriented. These two are very different than all the others. The red here would mean, or the orange would mean, the extent to which you obsessively think. If it's green or blue, a normal amount of thinking. As it goes from blue to green, a little bit more obsessive, or green to orange, a little bit more obsessive, from orange to red, really obsessive. And if you've got a measurement that's orange or red and analytical, just have some fun with me. You've heard me say this when we did assessment debriefs. What do you do to shut off your mind? Anybody want to give me some ideas? What do you do? This obsessive mind that's constantly thinking. What do you do to shut off your mind? Just jump on and give me one thing if you would.
Hi, Dave. This is Bonnie.
Hi.
Hi. I haven't been on for a while, but tonight was the perfect night to get on. And I do either the Ho'oponopono prayer, the I love you, thank you, or I do the 4-7-8 breathing. And that's where you breathe in for the count of four, breathe out for the count of, hold for the count of seven, and breathe out for the count of eight. Because when you're breathing, you can't think when you're counting.
Isn't that beautiful?
It helps me to center myself.
Oh, I knit. I don't have to think when I'm knitting.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So we have a knitter and we have a breather.
I'm a breather.
And saying prayer. Anybody else have anything else to get add?
I do, Dave.
Yes, please.
I put my headphones on and
I listen to personal development through my headphones on my iPad, or on my iPod.
Wonderful. You're listening to some audio that's lifting, building.
And it takes you away from your negative patterns of thinking.
Yeah. And sometimes analytical. You just said something really important. Because analytical just tells me, the color tells me how obsessively we think. It doesn't always tell me whether it's positive or negative. I have to look at other measurements to kind of get an idea of whether it's being used positively or negatively. But I'll tell you, if you've got an orange or red analytical and you give it an eyedropper of negativity, woohoo! It'll take you in that dark dungeon of despair and discouragement into the depths of hell in 5 minutes. I mean, crash. Yeah, orange and red, we've got to be very careful that we're using it constructively. Thanks, all. I know I've shared this with some of you. I still remember speaking at the Grand America. About 700 people in the room, and I had done assessments on 100 or 200 of them, and I knew a lot of them had this measurement red, so I asked what they do to shut off their mind, and the guy in the back raised his hand and said, "I drink!" And I thought, you know, got it. And a lot of people will try to anesthetize it. We'll drink, we'll eat, we'll sleep. Then we'll do healthy things like listening to self-improvement, knitting, praying, breathing, other forms of exercise. Almost everyone who has this measurement, orange or red, can tell me something specific that they do to manage it. Now, I want to give you the good news. And some of you have heard me say this, but just let it end tonight. When we are effortlessly thinking, and that's what it's called. We are obsessively thinking, but we are thinking effortlessly. In other words, we have to consciously shut it off. It can really serve us. Because this thought process is dualistic, all nothing, right, wrong, win, lose. In other words, it won't stop spinning thinking until there is a solution. It's constantly, obsessively looking for a better idea, a solution to a problem. It is an enormous gift to be an effortless thinker if we're thinking positively and we can manage it. We get some rest from it because it'll exhaust you. I often say it's like riding a wild Mustang. And we have to be careful that we don't have our foot stuck in the stirrup and it's dragging us along on the ground because it won't stop running until we consciously shut it off. So effortless thinking. Now, shadow sides. Because it's systemic, right, wrong, win, lose, life, death, once it locks in on an idea, I mean, it's going to lock in. It's non-negotiable. It's like it's already a done deal. Now, what happens when we get really strong opinions? And we don't get about everything, but the things we get strong opinions about. What happens when someone doesn't agree with us? Take a look over at self-esteem, top right-hand side. Fourth measurement down, peaceful. And ask yourself, orange or red, do I fight or do I just give up to keep the peace? If it's orange or red, you're going to do one or the other. When someone doesn't agree with me, and 95% of the time people take that personally, it's personal. I've invested a lot of time in this, and I know it's right, and you actually might be right. Well, what happens if someone won't listen to you? You'll know why you might fight back, why you might get into a right-wrong battle by looking at self-esteem. First measurement, whole and complete. Are they questioning my worth and my worthiness? confident? Are they questioning my ability? Valiant, are they questioning my belief systems? It's personal. When we are an orange or red, we can get so deeply attached to a thought process that if someone doesn't agree with us, they're calling into question me, not my idea, me. So you can feel this one. If you ever want to get into a right-wrong battle, and I'm writing a book right now, I think I might have mentioned, it's called Joint Errors, Turning Relationships into Partnerships. And part of this discussion is going to be about the destructive pattern of needing to be right in a relationship. I've got some very close relatives. We have this conversation. My parents, bless their hearts. They're getting so much better. They're 80, and they're starting to finally let a piece of this go. But, oh, my goodness. And the reason why we get in the right-wrong battle is because if it's not right, the world's on tilt. It's not 98% accurate. It's all or it is nothing. That's why when two people are telling a story and one of them keeps correcting the story, to them the story will not be true if it's not accurate. It would be a lie. And I'm going, I don't really care whether you turn left or right. I don't care. Get to the point. But to the other person, it matters a lot because they're processing systemically, right, wrong, win, lose, life, death. And a left or right turn is life or death. That's how a thought process works. There is nothing in between right or wrong. There's no gradation. There's no Pantone color schedule. It's polar opposites, all or nothing, right or wrong. Well, then she said we should go to the store. No. She said we should go to the theater. Oh, God, great. Could we just get through the story? Anybody on the phone, become conscious if you're in a relationship where this conversation is present. Either we are correcting the other person or they are correcting us. This is one of the number one causes for destructions of relationships. The need to be right. Somebody in the relationship needing to be right and constantly fixing, constantly changing, constantly criticizing, constantly. Because until it's perfect, the world's on tilt. Just know that is probably the single greatest risk with an orange or red analytical. We will get attached to our ideas. We will. Now, here's a technique for you. Here's a technique. I share this with those of you who are in coaching sessions, but it's time for us to practice it. This only matters when we feel really strongly about a measure, about an idea. We feel really strongly about it. And here we are, stuck in our systemic thought, and the person over there is stuck in theirs. We're in a stalemate. And Og said it in Scroll 6. He knows not the secret of controlling his mind, but you do. And because you do, you're going to be called to a higher calling. This is intrinsic validation at, I believe, its highest stage. That when we feel strongly about something and someone else feels strongly, and we're in this battle, rah, that we practice this principle. We set aside our idea, and we practice a higher law. I alluded to this a moment ago, Betty. We see the value in the human being, and we know that that idea is attached to their self-worth. If I can find something good in that idea and share it, it will be as if I found something good in them, and their walls will come down. And we'll get to have a conversation. Now just know that the instant you make this decision, this thought process is going to be screaming at you. Don't do it. They'll think you agree with them and you won't get your way. Remember, it's all or nothing. You are raising yourself to a higher level of thought. Instead of thinking systemically, right, wrong, win, lose, life, death, you're actually raising above that to think what's called intrinsically. You're now focused on the value of a human being and not the right, wrong of an idea. This is so powerful when we can do it. And Betty, with your blues and greens, you could go here easily and look for the good in the idea and see it. And when you
well,
see
and,
it, verbalize it.
And looking at my chart on the analytical, I'm green there, where on the teachable it's just as red as can be, but on the analytical I'm green. So obviously I'm not so rigid.
Not so rigid, which is beautiful. Unless they approach you a certain way or try to control you, then you know, you got that other little other issue to deal with. Beautiful, beautiful. So you can be a little bit more comfortable, and with the colors that you have, the balance that you have in connection, much
mm-hmm.
easier. Let's practice this week. What I like best about your idea is, and just watch what happens. You can shift an entire conversation, a group conversation, a committee meeting, a board meeting, a family meeting, by simply looking for the good in someone's idea. It is so disarming. It's palpable what it does to the energy in the room. What I like best about your idea. Just know that orange or red has tremendous vividness and effortlessness in thinking. Those of you who have orange and red, I'm going to share with you one more piece. Be very careful that when you ask someone who works for you to do some research, that when they come back and begin to share, remember, you're thinking effortlessly. They most likely aren't, which means it was work for them. They probably aren't as thorough as you're going to be in the first 5 minutes of your conversation. They may have been processing this for 2 weeks. And they never thought about some of the things you'll pick up in 5 minutes. Just know you've got a gift. Listen to them. Share with them some more places they may want to look and go send them. Or thank them and use what they've discovered as a catalyst for you to apply this gift. But don't ever go, oh, did you think about this? Why not? What's wrong with you? That's so easy to do when it's effortless to think. Now, Betty, you mentioned green, which could be a couple of spaces in the direction of orange. It might be right on the cusp of orange. So just honor this ability to be able to vividly and effortlessly think, all of you. It's an enormous gift if we can manage the need to be right. That's our biggest challenge with it. Well, that's really the crux of this thought process, these thought processes. When we get into the next one, methodical, it just tells me when it starts to turn orange and red that we can be really attached to our ideas. That starts to confirm that attachment. Consistent, if it's orange, it just tells us that I'll set a schedule to do something. It's most likely something I don't want to do. I'll schedule it out far enough that I can feel safe today, but close enough that I can feel like it's realistic to accomplish. And when you get to that day, like today's Tuesday, we might schedule for Friday afternoon. When we get to Friday afternoon, if this consistent measurement is orange or red, be conscious and listen to all of the other options it wants to give you. All of them are important, but all of them are an attempt to avoid the structure that you've established. It's the funniest thing. Oh, you need to call mom before she, goes to bed, or she's been ill, and I need to run this to the store. You know, you'll think of 100 things, anything. Your mind will just be churning to avoid the structure. However, we all know this one fact, that when we shut off that noise and jump in and do the task, when the task is completed, we always feel a sense of accomplishment. We've got it off our plate. So focus on those two things. Laugh at all of the excuses that are coming up. Jump in and do. And then feel the sense of accomplishment and just remember that feeling. And every time you're facing another one, it'll get easier and easier and easier. So we just don't have a pile of big uglies in our life that we keep just kicking the can. You know, it's like Congress right now with our debt issues. We just kick it down the road, and we get there, and we just want to kick it down the road again and kick it down the road again because we don't want to take it on. And don't be in that way in your life. Loyalty, finally, this tells me when it's orange or red, that we might have a little bit of a challenge enforcing rules. Enforcing rules. And it might be because, heck, we don't like them either. So why should I have to enforce them? That one is rarely orange or red, so just note that in terms of these measurements. Well, this has been a great exercise tonight with all of you. Hopefully you've got some ideas of where to go in terms of we'll be back here in a couple of weeks back into connection, and we'll practice intrinsic validation. That will help us. Finding good in a person's idea and knowing that's finding good in them, so their walls come down and we can have a conversation. And just knowing that orange and red doesn't mean something is wrong. It just means we're going to want to be hyper-vigilant in managing the shadow side. The shadow side. Well, everyone, thank you for your time tonight. This has been absolutely delightful. We're going to take on joy in the journey next week. This is really what we all strive for, is to enjoy this journey. And there's a lot of thought processes. I'll talk about which ones impact it and the thought processes within it, and I'll give you some exercises next week so that you can find more joy in the process. Sometimes we just want a destination, you know? We want to have it over with, and we want it to all be peaceful and wonderful and without stress. Unfortunately, it doesn't exist on this planet, so we're going to want to learn how to have joy in the journey. Well, thanks, everyone. It's been a joy being with you. Thanks, everybody who participated. Look forward to having you being back with you next Tuesday night to take on joy in the journey. Everybody come off of mute and say goodnight so we can hear your voice. Just come off mute for a second. And
good night, Dave.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Great.
Thank you, Dave.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Dave.